You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Topic: Passing Under the Blood. Document title: A Covenant God. Last week we started on an exciting path. As we have traveled on God's highway, you know, His highway of righteousness, His highway of salvation. Yes, that highway. We are now, this week, moving on in our understanding of the covenant and promise to Abraham, in which we read in Genesis chapter 15, verse 12 to 15, that Abraham was overcome by sleep and the darkness of the night, and that his soul also received this. His offspring will end up walking for 400 years in oppression and darkness in Egypt. God forged a covenant with Abram that is everlasting, and as we have seen and will see, his faithfulness is everlasting too. As people, yes, even as God's people, who are traveling on the highway of salvation, we still step off to the side so many times. The more I think about it, the more it scares me. That fear is important. We need that fear, because the alternative to being in covenant with God is breaking the covenant. And breaking the blood covenant always resulted in death. That part did not change. Breaking the covenant with God, the covenant with Christ, our deliverer, Yeshua HaMashiach, still results in death. Abraham showed us that all that he did and all that he had belonged to God, Elohim, giving back what was not his to the rightful owner, giving what was God's to God. By the words of Genesis chapter 14, Abram's encounter with King Melchizedek, and by the words of Malachi chapter 3, we now know what to do with that part that belongs to God. We know now that this is also the one thing in which God challenges us to test him. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10b, King James Version. Prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God is worthy of all our praise, and when we offer ourselves up to him, only the best is good enough. Zechariah explained it to us. When we go into that covenant, our old self, what is not up to God's standards, will be purified by the refiner's fire. This is our baggage, that part that we do not need, the third part. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9, A, Amplified Bible. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will test them as gold is tested. Throughout, we saw the faithfulness of God shine through in every facet of history and of life. We closed with the words of Paul to the Romans and the letter of Peter. Romans chapter 3, verse 22, Common English Bible. God's righteousness comes through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ for all who have faith in him. There's no distinction. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, Common English Bible. Live in this way, knowing that you were not liberated by perishable things like silver or gold from the empty lifestyle you inherited from your ancestors. Amen. Are you with me again? Are we able to pick it up from here? Oh, God is so good. I love him so dearly. It is just so incredible what he does for me. I do not deserve it. And still, through the blood of the Lamb, I know I do, because he, Jesus, has already paid the price. Blood on the door. Church history and statistics teach us that church people, no matter how much they want to tell you otherwise, are not very different in many actions than non-visiting church people. A person is touched by God, receives the fire in his bones, and wants to do all kinds of things in the church. work for God, study His Word, sit up front, hear every word that is said about God, craving God, wanting to drink up every word. Psalm chapter 42, verse 1 to 2, Common English Bible. Just like a deer that craves streams of water, my whole being craves you, God. My whole being thirsts for God, for the living God. When will I come and see God's face? As we see, this is truly not something new. The Word of God has this effect on people. The experience of receiving Christ as our Lord and Savior is a wonderful and great experience. It is like seeing springtime for the first time. Flowers, bright colors, lambs, calves, wonderful fragrances, it just feels like dancing. But, oh yes, there it comes, the great but. But then, when we are standing in this bright light, what is in us that is not of God is that third part that we do not need in the covenant with Christ. That third part will be burned up in the refiner's fire. But no, not this. I like it. It is so cool. No, not that. It is so funny. No, not this. It has been part of me for so many years. No, God, not these memories. There is nothing wrong with that, God. Come on, God. Into the fire. Can I keep this, God? From the first row, the newborn Christian, who is not able to truly repent from their sins and keeps hanging on to the ways and means of old, ends up further and further back in the church pews until, yes, until the last pew, the one beside the door, under the exit sign. God said to Abram that his offspring will end up in Egypt, not because he, God, wanted to punish them, no, but God already knew what happens. When blessings are following, we soon forget where those blessings are coming from, and with that, we soon forget to bless the Lord for those blessings and give Him the glory for what we have received. That is also why He already delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians. We are going through this right now, and we will see the parallels between the deliverance of the Israelites out of Egypt and the deliverance out of our own personal Egypt. As God told Moses, He told the Israelites to slaughter the lamb in the evening. Exodus chapter 12, verse 7 to 14, Amplified Bible. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two side posts and on the lintel above the door space of the houses in which they shall eat the Passover lamb. They shall eat the flesh that night roasted, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted, its head, its legs, and its inner parts. You shall let nothing of the meat remain until the morning, and the bones and unedible bits which remain of it until morning you shall burn with fire, and you shall eat it thus, as fully prepared for a journey, your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment, proving their helplessness. I am the Lord. The blood shall be for a token or sign to you upon the doorposts of the houses where you are, that when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be to you for a memorial. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Keep it as an ordinance forever. Also in this text, we see the words of the fire coming back, that the inedible bits, the parts that are of no use, the leftovers, the parts that only weigh us down with uselessness, will be burned in the fire. It is interesting to see that the 22nd letter in the Hebrew alphabet, the Tav, is the letter for seal. It is also the representation for the number 400. It looks like a door, but when we look closer at the root of the letter, going back 2,000 years before Christ, we see something really interesting. The original form of the letter is a cross. Oh, wait a second. The letter means mark or seal, and it looks like a cross. And where did the Israelites need to put the blood again? When the blood was applied to the doorpost, which in the Hebrew tongue connects to the mezuzah, the doorpost marker, and in later Jewish practice, the doorpost case for scripture, the angel of death would pass over. Which is, my dear friends, where the word and celebration of Passover comes from. In the Dutch language, it is called Passen, in which we can still find a little echo of the Hebrew Pascha, but truly not much, only when you, just like me, have a deep, searching imagination. This blood on the mezuzah was there to keep them away from death. It was there to liberate the people, delivering them out of the hands of the angel of death. The door is very important. It is a way to enter or to leave. The door is a gateway to pass through from one place into another. When you walk from a dark room into the outside where the sun is shining bright, we need to stop and let our eyes adjust before we move on. It is a transfer from darkness into the light. As we now also know, it is going through the seal of approval. This seal will be of importance in the time of tribulation as it was in the time of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 3 to 6, Amplified Bible. And the glory of the God of Israel, the Shekinah cloud, had gone up from the cherubim upon which it had rested to stand above the threshold of the Lord's house. And the Lord called to the man clothed with linen, who had the writer's ink bottle at his side. And the Lord said to him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations that are committed in the midst of it. And to the others, he said in my hearing, Follow the man with the ink bottle through the city, and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have any pity. Slay outright the elderly, the young man and the virgin, the infant and the women, but do not touch or go near anyone on whom is the mark. Begin at my sanctuary. So they began with the old men who were in front of the temple, who did not have the Lord's mark on their foreheads. The followers of Christ will be known as the children of God by the seal on their heads, the seal of the covenant. John chapter 10 verse 1 and verse 9, King James Version. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. When we come by an official document, and it does not have the seal on it, we know it is a falsification. If we try to enter through the door, and it does not have the blood of Christ on it, we just know it is a falsification, and we are not entering onto the highway of salvation, the highway to eternal life. No, going through that door which is not a seal is just the same old. Nothing changed. There is no way around it. The seal, which is the cross, the blood of the Lamb, the blood on the doorpost, the blood on the cross, or no way at all. John chapter 10, verse 7 to 16, Common English Bible. So Jesus spoke again. I assure you that I am the gate of the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and outlaws, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief enters only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came so that they could have life, indeed, so that they could live life to the fullest. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. When the hired hand sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away. That's because he isn't the shepherd. The sheep aren't really his. So the wolf attacks the sheep and scatters them. He's only a hired hand, and the sheep don't matter to him. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I give up my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that don't belong to this sheep pen. I must lead them too. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. I can tell you, the blood on the door is so important to us, and I can fill up another 4 sermons on this topic without a question. But we do need to continue. As the people of Israel have been led through the door, out of the land of captivity, unto a road set to freedom, a road ending in the land that was promised to Abraham, we are led. We are led through that door, out of the land of our captivity, unto that highway of salvation, unto the road of eternal life, away from death, suppression, oppression, self-destruction, humiliation, and temptation, into a new life of holiness, a life of righteousness, a life of holiness before the Lord. It is a covenant made for the Jews. It is a covenant made for the Gentiles, you and me. It is a covenant made for all who want to walk through that door, that seal, which is covered by the blood. When we walk through the door, which has the blood on the doorposts, we are walking through the 2 parts, as with the covenant. But we also walk under the lintel, the top beam that forms the door, together with the 2 posts, all 3 together, making 1 door, 1 seal to pass through. The top post is the horizontal beam of the cross on which Christ died for us. His blood is on it. This then shows us something else that is more than wonderful. We need to pass under that doorpost. We need to pass under the blood. When we pass through the blood of Christ, we are washed by the blood of the Lamb, the blood that washes white as snow. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17 to 19. King James Version. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. This, my dear friends, brings me back to the opening of today's message. How is it possible that we go further and further back from the Holy Spirit fire that was started in us when we received Jesus in our lives? You remember when I told you earlier, from the first row, the newborn Christian who is not able to truly repent from their sins and keeps hanging on to the ways and means of old, ends up further and further back in the church pews until, yes, until the last pew, the one beside the door, under the exit sign. Then, there are only 2 ways possible, besides standing still. It is door A, back to our old life without Christ. Or door B, from the back of the church, under the blood, through the blood, on our knees in repentance, burning off our worldly, worthless items, the ones we cling to so much. Yes, those items, to burn them in the refiner's fire, and with that feeling lighter and more relieved time after time again. We realize then that the Christian life is not necessarily an easy life. It has its obstacles, it has its ups and downs, but it also has the comforting voice of Jesus, the cleansing blood of the Lamb, the draw of the Father. It has that. It has that always. Exodus chapter 12, verse 14, Amplified Bible. And this day shall be to you for a memorial. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Keep it as an ordinance forever. People that walk in many churches might see, just like we have, two candlesticks burning on the altar or on a table. And let me tell you, even a lot of priests and pastors do not truly know why. It is customary to light two candles made especially for Shabbat, which remain burning until they go out. One explanation for the two candles is that they represent the two Torah commandments concerning Shabbat: keep and remember. Keeping Shabbat is understood as an obligation to observe Shabbat, and remembering Shabbat is associated with preparing for it. For the Jewish people, it reminds them how they are being brought out of captivity from Egypt into freedom of the Promised Land. We, as Christians, have been led out of our captivity, our darkness, from a life without Christ, a life that leads to death, into a life that leads into the light, a light that leads into eternal life with Christ. With this thought, we observe Shabbat, and the saving grace of our salvation, paid for by Christ, given to us on the day of our salvation, the day that we committed ourselves to Jesus the Christ. With the lighting of the candles, we remember that moment when we were saved and received Jesus Christ into our lives as our Lord and Savior. The flame of the candles, the light that is brought into the world by Jesus the Christ, we also see as the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fire that burns within every Christian that has accepted Jesus the Christ as their Lord and Savior. Every Christian that walked through the door, every Christian that took the seal of the new covenant with Christ. I want to read with you Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, in two different translations, which so clearly explain it to us. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, King James Version. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, Amplified Bible. The spirit of man, that factor in human personality which proceeds immediately from God, is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. The candle of the Lord that lights up the darkness, that shows our inmost being. The Holy Spirit is there to light up, to fuse with our spirit, to shine out a light upon the darkest corners, searching all his innermost parts. Rejecting this Holy Spirit fire means not passing through the door, not being under the blood, not passing through the sacrifice, and it means staying in darkness. Oh my, what a terrible thought. Walking around in darkness with no idea what is ahead, no thought of what is to come, no understanding of what is happening. Until again, to that point, we see the light. Just like the two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus after the crucifixion and burial of Christ. They invited the stranger to come with them and share the meal, as he did. Luke chapter 24, verse 30 to 34, King James Version. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. They heard the words of Jesus, and the fire, the Holy Spirit, burned within them. It gave them light. The Lord is risen indeed. Wow! The spoken word of God, what we call the Rhema Word of God, brings that light. The written Word of God, the Holy Bible, brings that light. The Holy Spirit anointing brings that light. Going through the fire, being refined and cleansed by the blood, gives us less pollution. Thus, a brighter flame, a brighter flame, a brighter light, more insight, more God, less self, less darkness, more light, more life, a fuller life, a life that is more complete and whole. The Holy Spirit fire also helps us in our times of need and tribulation. It helps us in our trials, trials that are not foreign to any of us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 19, Amplified Bible. Beloved, do not be amazed and bewildered at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test your quality, as though something strange, unusual, and alien to you and your position were befalling you. But insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, rejoice, so that when His glory, full of radiance and splendor, is revealed, you may also rejoice with triumph, exultantly. If you are censured and suffer abuse because you bear the name of Christ, blessed are you, happy, fortunate to be envied, with life joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of your outward condition, because the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of God, is resting upon you. On their part, He is blasphemed, but on your part, He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or any sort of criminal or as a mischief maker, a meddler in the affairs of others, infringing on their rights. But if one is ill-treated and suffers as a Christian, which he is contemptuously called, let him not be ashamed, but give glory to God that he is deemed worthy to suffer in this name. For the time has arrived for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not respect or believe or obey the good news, the gospel of God? And if the righteous are barely saved, what will become of the godless and wicked? Therefore, those who are ill-treated and suffer in accordance with God's will must do right and commit their souls in charge as a deposit to the one who created them and will never fail them. If judgment comes to each and every one of us, I prefer to have the Holy Spirit fire help me get the third part, as Zechariah called it, burned up in the refiner's fire. The announcements and promises of this also came with John the Baptist in Matthew. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 to 12, King James Version. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will throughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The unquenchable fire of the refiner, the light, the gifts, the strength, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I want it all. I want to go through the blood. I want to be under the blood. I want to have the tav of the covenant, the seal, upon me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me now. Lord, accept me in your holy covenant. I want it, Lord. I need it, Lord. I need you. Lord, right now. Lord, right now. Acts chapter 2, verse 3 to 4, Amplified Bible. And there appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed, and which settled on each one of them. And they were all filled, diffused throughout their souls with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other, different foreign languages, tongues, as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression, in each tongue, in appropriate words. My dear friends, the covenant is not a religious badge, and it is not a church habit. Covenant is a passage. It is the crossing from darkness to light, from the old life into the new life, by the door, by the seal, by the blood. The mezuzah marked in Egypt preached Messiah before many even had language for it, and the Tav, mark and seal, still speaks. Life comes through God's appointed entrance, not by climbing the wall, not by forging a false document, not by a life that keeps the exit sign closer than the altar. And hear this, passing under the blood is not a one-time emotional moment that fades into memory. It is a covenant walk, again and again, where repentance stays near, where the refiner's fire stays welcome, where the third part does not get defended like a pet sin or a treasured wound. The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, lights up the hidden rooms of the heart, not to shame us, but to cleanse us, heal us, and set us free to live holy, clean hands, clean heart, clean path. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 22. King James Version. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So yes, stay under the blood, stay near the door. Let the Holy Spirit fire keep burning bright, not smoky with compromise, not dimmed by the old attachments that drag the soul back to the last pew. The Good Shepherd still calls, and his voice still gathers one flock. And the victory of the covenant is not only survival, it is overcoming. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, King James Version. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Come on, my friends, step through the door again. Kneel under the lintel. Let the blood speak. Let the fire refine. Let the shepherd gather you close. In Messiah Yeshua, covenant life is open in front of you, clean, bright, and real. I want that Pentecostal experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the living water of Christ, being washed by the blood of the Lamb. Are you with me? I'm asking you again, are you with me? I'm going to stay right under the blood, where the devil can do me no harm. I'm entering into the sheep's pen through the door with the blood. I'm going to enter into the sheep's pen through the blood. I'm going to enter into the sheep's pen through the covenant with the only unblemished lamb. I'm going to enter into the sheep's pen, into the arms of the Good Shepherd. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.